Well, let's see if the jazzy intro music starts here. There it is.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Hello, hello, everybody. This is Patricia W. Fisher. I'm here talking to you on Thursday, the 17th of May. And just so you know, this month is Asthma Awareness Month as well as National Foster Care Awareness Month. So for both those things, if you need more information about asthma or if you want more information about becoming a foster parent or helping out with that group, please don't hesitate to look it up. Knowledge is power, and the more we give back, the better the world is. Today, we are talking to an amazing author, Chanel Cleeton, and I will admit she is a new author to me, but what really got me was her book cover. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about her, and then she's going to jump in and tell us about her amazing books. She's originally from Florida. She grew up on stories of her family's exodus from Cuba following the events of the Cuban Revolution. Her passion for politics and history continued during her years spent studying in England, where she earned a bachelor's degree in international relations from Richmond, the American International University in London, and a master's degree in global politics from the London School of Economics and Political Science. As if that weren't showing how smart she was already, Chanel also received her Juris Doctorate from the University of South Carolina Law School of Law. She loves to travel and has lived in the Caribbean, Europe, and Asia. Her book, Next Year in Havana, has been featured in Entertainment Weekly, Hello Giggles, and on NPR. You can find her on her website, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Goodreads, and Pinterest. All of those links, as well as her Amazon buy link, is in the write-up for the show. Welcome, Ms. Chanel. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Of course. Now, when I first found your book, Next Year in Havana, it has the most striking cover, and a lot of people think when writers, their books come out, they have all of this say in their book cover, and we as writers know that's not necessarily true. How much say did you get to have in the book cover, and then when you got the final cover, what was your reaction?
I was absolutely thrilled. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes when I saw it. I have a really great relationship with my publisher, and they always ask me, several months before they start working on the cover, like what sort of things I would like to see on it. But I'll be honest, I don't really have that, level of graphic skill. I think that's just a really special talent that certain people have. And so I'll kind of give them some ideas, but I don't have the vision that the art department has. And so we'd kind of thrown around some stuff. I knew I wanted to have a woman on the cover because obviously my story is really about, two women. And I wanted to highlight that and showcase that, and obviously as well the beauty of Cuba. But I didn't quite have an idea of how that would work out. And I think it took about two tries. I actually didn't see the first one. But when they sent me the cover that ended up being the final, I just absolutely fell in love. I think they did such an amazing job of capturing the spirit of the book, the two timelines, and just kind of the romanticism that I really wanted readers to get from it. And I was just really absolutely thrilled. I've been very fortunate with Berkeley to have some amazing covers, and that one definitely is probably my favorite.
Oh, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about The Next Year in Havana.
It's a book that was really inspired by my family. My family left Cuba in 1967, so they lived through the revolution. And I sort of grew up on their stories. My grandparents lived with us, and they talked about Cuba all the time. And so there was always just a really strong interest for me and a passion in the book. And the idea for actually the story itself came from a family story of a night before my family left Cuba when everyone met in the backyard of their home in like the dead of night and buried their valuable possessions in the backyard because they thought they would just be gone for a little bit of time and they couldn't take that stuff with them. So they thought if they, buried it in the backyard, it would be there for when they returned. And when my dad told me that story, as a writer, it just sparked such a powerful emotion in me. And it really raised the question for me, if you were in such a desperate situation where you had to leave, the only home you'd ever known, what would you put in that box and what would you save for when you would return? And that was really the genesis that sparked the story for me.
Wow. I mean, that just gives you an amazing visual of people bearing. Now, was there, was, did they have to escape? Did they petition to leave? Did, I mean, how did they, were they able to leave?
They asked to leave. My grandfather was a doctor, and he stayed, you know, so the revolution happened January 1st, 59 is when Castro, you know, the forces started moving in to take over the country. And they lived through about 8 years of that and had been kind of trying to leave, but had run into different obstacles along the way. And then finally, about a year before they left, my grandfather petitioned the government to leave. And as punishment, they sent him to the country to work in the fields away from his family for about a year. And then he was finally granted the ability to leave. So it was definitely one of those things where they weren't sure, you know, if they were going to be able to get out, and they contemplated sending my dad on his own. He was young, and that was kind of a common practice. It was called Operation Peter Pan, where families would put their kids on a plane to the U.S., and the Catholic Church had a whole organization set up with a lot of Cuban families to help them when they arrived. And so there were definitely times when they were considering that because they weren't sure they were going to be able to leave.
Wow. I can't even imagine having to make that choice. That's just...
Mm-hmm.
Horribly heartbreaking, and kind of seeing a little bit of it now, or a lot of it now, in the news. So you're a big reader, I would assume.
Yes, yes. And,
okay. What were some of your favorite books growing up?
Oh, I had so many. I mean, I think for me, probably the biggest one that I always kind of look to is the Nancy Drew series, and I think so many writers say that because it was just so iconic. I also loved, I was a big, I had horses, so I was really big into equestrian books. So I loved a lot of series with horses, like Walter Farley and some of those books. And yeah, I mean, I can't really ever remember a time that I wasn't reading. And so I think that really just informed so much of me becoming a writer.
So, and, you know, seeing this one book of yours, of course, it's fun to find a new author because I get to see what all the other stories you've written are. And you've got a lot of other stories. You've got several romance books out there. You've got the Capital Confession series, The Wild Aces. And so this is more of a, there's lots of romance in this book, but it's more leans towards women's fiction, you would say?
Yes. Yeah, it's a women's fiction, historical fiction would definitely be a little bit more the category that it's in.
So tell me why you decided to write, you've been writing these other books, and then what made you want to write this book? What was the catalyst that made you want to write something different genre?
You know, I think it was really just kind of the perfect storm of a lot of different elements that came together. As a reader, you know, I like to read on a lot of different genres, and I had been writing romance for a while. I think I'd written and published about 10 at that point. And I was kind of eager to try something different and just to kind of, you know, expand my writing experience. Like I said, I love to read historical fiction. I love to read women's fiction. And that had kind of been something that was in the back of my mind the whole time. And at the same time, it was actually when my dad told me the story. So it was like I've had the idea of wanting to try something new. And then as soon as the story came into my mind, I was like, oh, that's the book I want to write. And then my publisher and my agent had also been kind of looking at what was next for me. I was at the end of one of my romance contracts, and we were trying to figure out, you know, what the next step would be. And they were actually really supportive of me trying something new. So it was really great. I mean, it really, everything kind of came together. And this book just really was the book of my heart. I mean, I wrote it in, I think, about 4 months. And it was one of those books that it was a joy to work on. I mean, it really was just something that it felt so special to me.
Like one of those that you can't ever get out of your head, but you don't want it out of your head?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Definitely like that.
So you've got this book, and then your next book that's coming up next year.
Yes.
And I apologize, I'm trying to grab the other title here. What is
it's
your next book
When
coming
We Left
up?
Cuba.
That's right.
It's coming out February 12th. We just announced the release date, so it'll be February 12th, 2019. It's called When We Left Cuba, and it's the story of one of the sisters in the first book. So it's not a sequel. You don't need to read, you know, the first book to understand. It's set right after they come to the United States, and it's about the sister's story. And it was just really fun to work on. I didn't really know that I was going to continue writing books about this family, but when I introduced this particular sister, her name is Beatrice, in Next Year in Havana, like the second she came on the page, I actually had to stop working on Next Year in Havana to write the first chapter of her book because it was just so strong
in
my mind. And I was really fortunate that I went to my agent and editor and I was like, hey, I want this to be my next book. And everyone was on board with it. So it's been fun to work on. It's set in the 60s, it's set in South Florida, and it kind of follows the sort of Cuban-American conflicts of that time, Cuban Missile Crisis, the Bay of Pigs, the Kennedy assassination, and she becomes involved with the CIA. So there's this really fun espionage plot that I got to work on that I really enjoyed.
And so how much research do you do prior to writing your book?
I would say every project varies for me a little bit. I'm working on something now that'll be out in 2020 that I did not have as much personal knowledge about going in, so I did more research on that one than I normally do before I start writing. With the two Cuba books, I was really fortunate that I had kind of that strong family base, so I knew where to go when I needed information, and I knew the points where I needed to do more research. It was just a lot easier kind of having that foundation. And a lot of the research that I was doing for Next Year in Havana really lent itself to when we left Cuba. So that was nice too, that I kind of had already come across a lot of that stuff. So I typically really write and research as I go, just kind of depending on what the book calls for, really.
Right. And when one of the things that you can pull from people who live there is this street is here and that place is there. A lot of that would be really difficult to find now from the 60s even in Cuba because things have changed. But my understanding too, a lot of it hasn't. So some of those, some of the neighborhoods and some of the places still there. Was your family ever able to go back and look in the yard?
They were not. That's kind of one of the discussions we've been having as a family is how we feel about that. My grandfather is now 95, and he's really kind of feels very strongly that he does not want to go back. I think, you know, he knows he's kind of at the end of his life, and he doesn't want to see what has happened to the country that he loved so much. Some of the younger generation does want to go back. My dad really wants to, and we've talked about that as a family. So I think it's, you know, one of those things that's been really interesting as I've kind of talked to people touring for this book and just some of the letters I've received from readers, hearing how everyone has their own opinion on whether they want to go back and the kind of emotions that that idea evokes. So it's been really interesting, even just within my family, that this book's really kind of prompted that dialogue for us.
Did the older family members in your that were there that came over, do they remember exactly what they put in that box, or do they remember generally, or do you know?
They remember generally. I will say I think one of the incredible things for me is just how vividly they do remember Cuba and how vivid the stories are. I mean, my grandfather will, like, draw street maps from memory, because it was just such a passionate thing for him. So it's really interesting to see, like, how so many of these Cubans have become natural historians, especially in exile, I think, when they have their memories really to cling to. So, yeah, it was incredible getting to kind of share those conversations with my family and to put some of those details into the book.
Was there any resistance from any family members about you telling the story?
I didn't really encounter that, no, and I was a little bit nervous. But I was really fortunate that I think everyone appreciated it and has been really supportive. And I think, too, there's an element, a lot of it's fictionalized, so it's not like, you know, it wasn't a direct draw from, you know, my family's history. A lot of the romance and stuff was certainly fictionalized. But I think the nostalgic touch points that I put in were kind of special to the family to have those written down.
Oh, for sure. So if you're just tuning in, we're Readers Entertainment Radio, and we're talking to author Chanel Cleeton, the author of Next Year in Havana. It's her most recent book. But she also has several other books. She's got several other series. She's got Capital Confessions, Wild Aces, and International School, three books in each of those series. And then you also have a thriller as well. if I recall.
Yes.
And so, again, it's just kind of really diversifying your portfolio. What has been the hardest to write of all those series, and then what has been the most fun to write of all those series?
Oh, that's a really good question. I feel like I will say that the hardest book is always the book I'm working on.
Sure.
So it's like at any time that seems to be the one that, you know, I feel that way about. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I think, you know,
no,
really each one just had their moments. I mean, I tend to write a lot from personal experience, which always is kind of a helpful thing for me to have that connection to my books. So I think, you know, each one had their own challenges and benefits. But
right. So you're a reader, you've gone to school, you've earned these degrees and your JD. And at what point did you say to yourself, you know what, I want to write my own books? Because a lot of times people say, yeah, I'm going to write. But what was the catalyst for you to sit down at your laptop or pick up a pencil or pen and say, I'm going to do this? What was that catalyst?
I'll be honest, it actually came from my personal life. My husband is in the military, and we move a lot. And it became kind of challenging with a lot of my degrees. They were in fields where I needed to be in a particular place or needed to have some kind of longevity. And, you know, it was tough with military lifestyle. And so I had always, you know, loved books and been such a big reader. And it just kind of came to me one day, you know, maybe I should try to be a writer. And, you know, at the time I knew very little about the industry. It was kind of just a, you know, something I just thought I'd play around with. And it just really clicked for me. And I've been very fortunate, you know, that it's kind of become, you know, my passion is has become a good career for me.
So are you part of a writer's group?
Not really. I have like some affiliation with some of the historical groups, like the Historical Novel Society and Historical Writers of America. And then I'm an RWA member, but I don't have like an active writing group locally or anything like that. No.
And then when you were pitching your first book, that got purchased, was that the first book you actually pitched?
That wasn't. So I signed with my agent back in, I think, 2012 with Kevin Lyon at Marcel Lyon Literary. And it was actually for a YA thriller that I had written. So as you can tell, my career's kind of been writing a bunch of different things.
Sure.
But she signed me for that, and we actually didn't sell that book. And then at the time, New Adult was kind of taking off, and you know, I had told her about living in London and going to an international university, and she was just like, hey, why don't you try writing a new adult book? And so I did and sold that to Harlequin, and that was kind of where, you know, I started getting into romance and everything.
Is that where you felt like your career was going to go? I mean, I think we all want to be the published author. I don't think any of us really are able to, you know, write out perfectly in what direction our career will go. Is that kind of where you thought you might head, or were you just kind of like, sure, let's sell it and see where it goes?
You know, I think it's kind of, I've just kind of gone with what, you know, the advice I've been getting at the time and what I'm reading and what kind of, for me, it's really the story that calls to me more than genre. So if a particular set of characters kind of gets into my head or a setting, or often it's just a scene that'll kind of flash and I'll be like, oh, I want to write that. That's typically tends to be the direction that I will take. And I've been really fortunate that my agent's like amazing about always kind of supporting that and nurturing it and giving me, you know, the business side advice of what's good for the market while also letting me write what creatively I want to write at the time. And same thing with my publisher. I've been with Berkeley now for quite some time for most of my books, and it's been really great that they've kind of been willing to grow with me and try new things and really been supportive of that. So I think, you know, for me, I just kind of look at my career as a long, you know, marathon, a sprint, and, you know, it's gone in some directions I wasn't necessarily expecting, but that I've been really grateful for and have worked out really well. So, yeah, I think it's just kind of writing what speaks to you and being, you know, sensitive to market timing and willing to kind of play around a little bit.
So what is the best and worst writing advice you've ever gotten?
Oh, wow. Let me think about that for a second.
There will be a quiz.
I would say the best writing advice is probably to never give up. I mean, I really think that perseverance is the biggest thing in this industry. And that's been really useful to me when I get down or discouraged, to kind of remember that and to go back to that. I think the worst writing advice is just whenever someone tells you that you have to do something, like, oh, you need to write daily, or you have to do this, or, you know, I think everyone has a different process. I certainly have a different process for every single book. And I think we can often get caught in that, oh, I'm doing something differently. Is it wrong? And, you know, just kind of understanding that what you need to do creatively is probably not necessarily going to be what someone else needs to do. But as long as it, you know, ends up in a finished product, you're good to go.
Right. And excuse me, my dog had a lot to say about someone who...
I have two dogs, so I understand.
So tell me about, what kind of dogs do you have?
I have two Yorkies, and then I have a Bichon Poodle mix.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, they keep you busy,
I'm
sure.
Of barking in my house.
ours is a miniature pincher and dachshund mix. So it looks like a wiener dog on stilts. And and she's got, we call them Dobby ears, because they're like stick up and then they flop over on the ends. So yeah, she's fun. Definitely interesting. And she's a very good companion when you're reading, because she keeps, you know, your feet warm and everything. So I'm sure yours
nice.
Help you with
that
as well.
Yes, they definitely do.
So you've written a lot of different genres. Is there anything you haven't gotten to write yet that you want to?
Yeah, there are a few things. I would really love to do like an adult suspense novel, either a mystery or a thriller. And I kind of have been playing around with the idea of wanting to do fantasy at some point, because I'm actually a really big fantasy reader. Those are probably two things that I would like to try somewhere down the road. I think that's probably it for me. But yeah, those two stand out.
Any particular books inspire you for the fantasy?
I love Sarah J. Maas. I loved her books. Renee Diaz, her new series Without, has been wonderful. So yeah, I tend to read a little more YA fantasy. And I don't know if I would write YA or adult, but yeah, I just love, Catherine Arden has also a really great, it's like a historical fantasy kind of series. And I've really been enjoying that one as well. It's more adult.
I mean, it sounds like you've got like a wonderful variety on your bookshelf, for sure.
I do, yes. I definitely go through periods where I'll binge, you know, a certain genre and then I'll change it up. But I love kind of moving around in different things. And I feel like as a writer, you learn so much from reading different genres. You know, definitely when I read suspense, it really helps me with putting tension in my books and foreshadowing. And, you know, even if it's not a mystery, adding those elements, it'll kind of keep a reader on the edge of their seat.
Yeah, and I think it's a good crossover for all of us because, you know, I'm rereading the Harry Potter books with my two younger ones now because the older ones have read it. And so it's kind of fun to, when I first read them, I was so hungry to know the story that I just was just reading as fast as possible. Now we're at the point where I have to read every word, and it's a different book when you get to read it that way.
It's
actually a lot of fun.
Those things. Yeah.
It's like, oh, she put the sentence in that structure, or she used those two words together, and wow, that's really powerful, just the way she structured it. So yeah, it's a lot of fun when you can sit down and really savor a book and its message. So what other projects do you have coming up that are not book-related? Will you be attending any conferences? Will you be presenting any workshops coming up? I believe you've got something on Savvy Authors.
I do, yes. I have two coming up with Savvy Authors. One is like a marketing one, and one is kind of a query synopsis publication one, and they'll both be this summer. And then I'm doing a signing in Delaware at Bethany Beach Books, which I'm really excited for. I've actually never been to Delaware, so it'll be a great, great visit. And they're a wonderful bookstore up there, so I'm really excited to go check it out. And I think that's pretty much it for this year. Next year, I'll do the Historical Novel Society Conference and, you know, maybe a few other little conferences.
Is that the one that's in California?
It's going to be in Maryland next year. So they kind of rotate. Last time it was in Portland, Oregon, and it's every
right.
2 years. And then in 2019, it's going to be in Maryland, which I think will be really nice. So, yeah, I went to my first one last summer and really enjoyed it. It was kind of my first foray into the historical world.
Is that the one with Renee Bernard? That she's part of that one?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm still kind of new to it, so I'm not sure, but she might be.
I'm trying to remember. I know that Renee Bernard, she's a wonderful historical author, and she was working on a conference, and so I was just wondering if it was the same one.
Okay.
And she comes up with some really fun stuff. A lot of it is set in London. She has this wonderful series. And so you obviously are a lover of history.
Yes.
When you were in London, you know, was it just kind of like eye candy when you're walking around and seeing all these places that you just read about?
It was. Honestly, I always kind of joke, I met my husband while I was living there. And I always joke, if I hadn't have met him, I would not have come back. Because I really just, it was a wonderful place to live. And I absolutely fell in love with it. And it was nice, too, because you could travel so easily to so many different places, which I really enjoy, just kind of getting to have that whole experience. But yeah, it was truly incredible. And I keep saying I want to go back because it's been a few years since I've been back. So I think I'll have to at some point make a trip soon.
Well, yeah, maybe go do a book signing or something over there.
Yes. Yeah, that would be really wonderful.
So we have about 3 minutes left. And so I wanted to ask, what are some words of advice you have for people out there, you know, getting rejections, getting no's, things aren't working, they're wondering why they're telling the story, but they have to tell it.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for them?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just to keep writing and keep going. And I know how hard it is. I mean, my career has definitely been through its share of, you know, rejections and moments where I thought, okay, I'm just going to give up. You know, this isn't happening. But I think really, you know, you read about those people that are like the one-hit wonders who make it, their first book out of the gate is a huge success, and I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for a lot of us, that's not the experience. And a lot of us, it's just kind of putting in the time and the years of rejections and just kind of honing your craft and really just keeping at it. And, you know, I think it's easy when you see like big deals getting announced or, you know, other things happening to feel like things aren't happening for you. But I'm always a big fan of just kind of keep your eyes on your own paper, you know, focus on what's working for you and just keep doing it and, you know, retool when you need to. But this market's so cyclical and, you know, nothing is ever certain and nothing's ever, you know, finite. So you always have the ability to kind of reinvent yourself or for all of a sudden that genre that wasn't selling that you were writing to become the hot thing everyone wants. So I really just think it's like a mental mindset of, you know, keeping the passion alive and working on your craft. And I think also just being someone that people like to work with. I think it's really important to be respectful of publisher timelines and deadlines and just trying to do everything you can on both the business and creative side to kind of advocate for yourself and to be a professional, basically. And, you know, also aligning yourself with people who you want to work with and who have your best interests and who are going to be those people that you can go to when you have questions or you're feeling like your career is not going somewhere, who are going to kind of push you forward and give you the advice you need. I've really, like, my biggest thing has been my agent and my editor and my publisher. You know, they've definitely made my career for me and been so supportive. And I think when you can find those people, it really makes a big difference.
Oh, absolutely. And you don't have to explain why you're writing. You just need the encouragement to keep going. And that's a huge deal.
Yes.
Well, I so appreciate you coming on today, Chanel, and I'm looking forward to your book next year. And I have a lot to read before that one comes out because you have about 10 other books I need to catch up with. So absolutely. So if you're interested, go to our page, and all the links are there to find Chanel on her website, Twitter, Facegram, Facebook, Instagram, Goodreads, and Pinterest, as well as a link to Amazon for her next year in Havana. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in, and keep reading.
Thank you.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.